Well, I'm titled this Face to Face and Heart to Heart, and it is a result of some of what we were impacted by when we were in New Zealand. And the first part of kind of a revelation of living from a heart of love and what that's all about and why that's so important in our lives. I had started out thinking about having a face-to-face relationship. And I looked up in the scriptures and I found there were at least four that I could discover from the scriptures of people who had face-to-face relationships with the Father. And they were all greatly impacted by that and did some pretty amazing things in their life as a result. You think of Moses was the first one that had a face-to-face relationship, and he's the one who led the Israelites out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and through the wilderness. And then there was Jacob, who wrestled with God, and he obviously had a face-to-face relationship, and he's the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then I thought of David, and it doesn't specifically say face-to-face, but David, in a number of times, asked the Father not to turn his face from him because of his sin, and to keep his face before him. And so I believe that David really had a face-to-face relationship with the Father, and we know all the great things that he did, was considered one of the greatest kings of Israel, and Jesus even referred to himself as the son of David, so a pretty significant person in the scriptures. And then Gideon was the other one I thought of, was he had the face-to-face relationship with, they called the angel of the Lord. I believe it was Jesus who he had an encounter with, and he defeated the Midianites and was able to save Israel from their bondage. So every one of them were drastically impacted, and Father wants to have a face-to-face relationship with us. And there probably were other people who had face-to-face relationships. I would guess the prophets would have been one group that may have been able to see the Father face-to-face. And then we think about everybody who was encountered Jesus, you could argue that they had a face-to-face relationship, because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But the significance of face-to-face is what really caught my attention and why I kind of went off in this direction. And then I thought about, well, Isaiah 59:2 says that the sin that is in us has hid his face from us, not turned his face. Now, the thing that I had messed up in my theology was the fact that a lot of people say, well, because of sin, he turns his back on us, and that's why Jesus cried out on the cross, you know, why have you forsaken me? Because now he had sin on his life, and the Father turned his back upon him. But that's not what the scripture says. The sin causes us, his face, to be hidden from us. It's not that he's not still looking at us. He's still not wanting and desiring a face-to-face relationship with us. But that sin, in Isaiah, so saying, was that had separated us and hidden his face from us. But thank goodness Jesus died on the cross, took our sins on his own body, set us free from that, made us righteous through the cross, and so that eliminated that hiding of the Father's face from us, and we allowed us to have that open face-to-face relationship, and that's what Father desired from the very beginning. And then I started thinking about a face-to-face relationship. What really would that mean? And the thing that came to me was the fact that when we look into someone's eyes, we can see into their heart. We can see what's going on in someone's heart just by looking at their eyes. And the more I do that, the more I realize that that is very true. And I just was thinking about that, and then I was reading a book that kind of confirmed that in a scientific way, that scientists have studied and realize that our left side of our face reveals the feelings and emotions that are going on in the right side of our brain. And so our left eye, looking at someone else's left side of their face, can pick up on what's going on in their emotions and feelings. You can't really completely hide your emotions and feelings from someone else that is looking at you. And some people are able to temporarily put on a face, you know, temporarily change their appearance, or people who can fool somebody by their presence, but even that, under the right circumstances, what's going on in your heart, what's going on in the right side of your brain is going to come out on your face. So, looking at, that's in the natural, but looking at someone in the spiritual, you can see into their heart. And I just begin to put that together. The Father wants to see into our heart. He wants us to be open and honest and transparent with Him and allow ourselves to let Him look into our eyes and let us look into His eyes and see His heart. And I started thinking, well, that, when you start getting there, going there, you're going towards a heart-to-heart kind of relationship. So you're looking in someone else's face, looking at their eyes, then you can begin to get in touch with what's going on in their heart. And then I looked at 1 Corinthians 13, because it came to my mind that, well, there's a verse 12 that talks about our being able to see Him face to face. And what really struck me, you know, in verse 12, it says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." And I always thought about that. Well, yeah, when we die and go to heaven, we'll have this face-to-face relationship with the Father and we'll see everything clearly. But I believe that I saw it from a perspective, well, why not see that in the natural now? Why do we have to wait until heaven in order to have a face-to-face relationship? And since the whole chapter is talking about love and what love is, what really came to put together for me was is that as we walk in love, we become mature. We, you know, in verse 11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away the childish things." And that maturity, because of the love, it's all tied in. After he talks about love, then these two verses are stuck in there. I thought, well, that's how we mature. As we begin to live our lives and live from our heart and walk in love, we become, put away the childish things, we become childlike with the Father, and we become able to begin to see clearly, face to face. So that was another exciting thing to put together. And I just started thinking about the Father wanting to have that full disclosure of Himself with us. He wants us to be able to look into His eyes, see Him face to face, and know what's going on in His heart and what He's thinking about us. And so it's this two-way thing. As we look into someone else's eyes, we can let them look into our heart and see what's going on in our heart, and we can look into their heart and see what's going on in their heart as well. And when we start walking in that level of love and having being that love flowing freely between the Father and ourselves, I just saw that as that's the true level of sonship. That's really walking as a son. And when you start looking face to face with the Father and start communicating with Him heart to heart. And then I thought about Ephesians 3:17 through 19, Paul's prayer for us. And it helped me begin to gird my brain around and understand how Paul could pray such a prayer. The verses that really stood out to me is that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is width and the length, the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And that last sentence there, the last clause in that sentence, that be filled with all the fullness of God. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to be filled with all the fullness of God? When you talk about all, there's nothing left. You're talking about all the fullness of God. Now, the image that came to me was from Aladdin, when Aladdin rubs the lamp and the genie comes out, and he's saying, "Oh, I'm big, you know, this great big genie," and he says, "I was this great big genie, and I'm in this little tiny living space, you know, this little lamp, you know." And I thought, well, that's kind of like this great big God, and he's living in this little tiny living space inside of me, all of God, you know. And since God is love, I thought, well, yeah, that's all of his love is in me. And I remember what Jack Frost said, "You have all the love of the Father that you'll ever have in you right now." Mm-hmm. It's not like as you grow in the Lord and understand more, you're going to get more and more of his love. When we are born again, we have all the love of God that he has inside of us now. And so we are filled with that, all the fullness of God. And his love then becomes an expression of our personality. When we live from our heart, live from all the love that's in us, it'll change our personality. And we'll be love-driven in our life. Love will be the motivation for us doing everything. And it's not a have to. It's not, I have to do something. I have to read my Bible. I have to pray. I have to be a good person. I have to keep the Ten Commandments. All this have to. The love is the driving and motivating force as we allow it to become full inside of us. And his nature, as we are full, all the fullness of God, all the fullness of love, and his nature will naturally come out of us. And we will find it easy to walk in love, joy, and peace, and patience, and goodness, and kindness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Some of those I look at and think, wow, how could you ever allow yourself to walk in all those fruits of the Spirit? But it'll just be second nature to us as we're transformed by his love, as we allow that love to motivate us in everything we do. We will be choosing out of love to do the right thing and to make the right choices in our life. And it won't be a have to. When I was first saved, the first thing that everybody tells you, that you begin to say you got to keep the commandments, all these do's and don'ts, and the 10 steps to do this, and the 5 steps to walk in faith, and all these things that I had to do. But then when I got really set free with Jack Frost and my heart started to heal, my attitude kind of changed, and I thought, well, yeah, what I'm really looking at now is that I want to please the Father. I want to be pleasing to him, so I want to do those things that would bring pleasure to him. And yet that's still myself being involved in all this. But this has kind of raised me to a new level of thinking, well, love motivating me, living a love-driven life, I don't have to do anything. I just allow the love that's in me to come out. It transforms my heart, transforms me into authentic transformation by walking in love, allowing myself to be motivated by love. So I am compelled by love to forgive. I'm compelled by love to ask forgiveness of someone else, to say I'm sorry when I need to say I'm wrong, when I need to do that. It's love that compels me to do that. And love causes me to do the right things and to walk and not be tempted in giving in to sin. It's no longer I have to stop this, I have to change this, I have to do this in order to be set free from this. No, let love rule in my life, let love be the motivating factor, and I'll do that naturally on my own. And love will cause me to have compassion for other people and hurting and want to reach out to them and want to be a giver and want to be helpful to other people. It's because of the love that's inside of me. This change is what Paul writes about in Romans, the third law that we get exposed to. We had to start out with the law of Moses in the Old Testament, which kind of was to help point out to us our sinful life and that we couldn't really change it ourselves. And then the law of sin and death, the whole reality of if we were living in sin, you know, the result of that was going to be death. But in Romans 8:2, Paul says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death, and it also sets you free from the Mosaic law, the having to keep all the commandments and having to do all that. Because love, this walking in love, the Spirit of love in my life fills my heart with the right things, and it's automatic for me to do and to live my life the way I'm supposed to live it. So I just want to encourage all of you that in the start of 1 Corinthians 14:1, the first part of the verse says, pursue love. You know, after he's talked about what love is and how he can be at this face-to-face relationship with the Father, to pursue love. And in the Amplified, it makes it your greatest quest. Oh, this is from 1 John 4:17, from the Message Bible. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God, and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on Judgment Day, on standing in the world and identical with Christ. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Wow. That's exactly what he's talking about. Yeah, it has the run of the house. And we stand in the world identical with Christ. Yeah, that's really good. Live a life of love. That's, you know, that's what the Message Bible translates 1 John 4:17. So I just want to encourage you, if you don't have anything else to allow time for soaking tonight, then just open your heart up to allow yourself to pursue love tonight. And let Father begin to bring in reality what he's already done through Jesus Christ and bringing his love and all of his love into our hearts.
I feel led to say this before we dismiss to go and find places to just allow Father to come to us. Soaking is what we call this evening. Now, if you are familiar with a sponge, you can have a sponge that is totally dry. And it can be very scratchy and not very pleasant to come and rub on your skin. Well, I seriously believe that's what a lot of us are like when we are not taking time to receive his love. But when we take time to simply be a sponge that's dry and we let him fill us up, so to speak, we let him pour his love that he so wants to pour out on us. One of the things we got from New Zealand is that it's all a downward movement. He's just got all this stuff that he wants to pour into us, and yet he's just looking for somebody to receive it. So soaking is all about receiving your Heavenly Father's love and letting him pour it into your spirit, soul, body. If you're having a difficult time in some area, if you've got a problem, whether it's in your physical body or with a relationship or something that's not where you want it, why not let his love come and envelop you and comfort you and allow you to receive what you have need of this night, so that you can go away aware of his peace and his presence? Because when we put ourselves in a place of being still and quieting everything on the outside and hopefully on the inside, then we have the opportunity to receive what he has for us that's always good.